God. Good morning. I want to say good morning to you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I got to tell you something. The Lord is good. Amen?
Amen.
And I tell you what, every day it's important for us to remember that when that sun comes up, it's only come up because of one reason, God's grace and mercy. And once that sun is up, and once we know that we have stepped into a new day, our confidence should grow to a point where we start exceeding what we're thinking and believing God for. Because when that sun comes up, it means that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it because he'll provide for it. Amen? So the very fact that we get to have the sun rise this morning, and the very fact that we get to come out and be together, it should boost our confidence to say that today is a day that I'm going to rejoice in because God is with me. Amen? So let's worship the Lord.
This bag of bones.
this falls, it won't free me. Cause I got a sin, knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never. Sing that again, the weapon. Darkness falls, it won't creep in. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. Oh, I'm not backing down from any giant. Cause I know how this story is. Yes, I know how this story is. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. He wages, he will win. Come on, you're not backing down. I'm not backing down from any giant. Why? Cause I know how this story is. Yes, I know how this story is. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good.
See you.
every battle you won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand.
God has given us many promises in His Word. And for a few weeks now, I knew God was going to have me read Psalms 91 to you. Make it personal. Read it every day. He who dwells in the shelter of the Almighty, or the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes. See the punishment of the wicked, and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Then they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy and show him my salvation.
Got a new song, the words are going to be up for you.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Spirit is moving over the Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
to stretch that out a little bit if the pastor wasn't back and getting ready to preach to us for 3 hours. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want God to come fill you afresh, let's sing through that chorus one more time. Hallelujah.
Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room,
Lord, hallelujah. I don't know why everybody thinks I'm going to preach so long today. I probably restrained myself purposely.
Okay, we got a few announcements. We got our women's Christmas party coming up this Saturday at 1 o'clock, and we're going to do carry-in and bring a gift, and the sign-up is out there. And then Christmas Eve service is at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a candlelight communion service. We love it.
Yeah.
It's one of our favorites. Mine favorites. Yeah. And then you have an announcement to make.
Yeah, I'm going to make our most serious announcement is today that Brother Bob Hoover passed away this morning. So Brother Bob Hoover is no longer suffering, but he is in heaven. And he's healed, and we're refreshed about that part today. Now, because it just happened literally this morning, we obviously don't have details about a funeral or anything like that. And as soon as that stuff is available, we will make it available to you as well. Probably post something when we know about it. But for right now, let's keep his family up in prayers, and let's be thankful for the time we had with Bob. I know we all loved him, and he's an incredible little man, and so we'll be praying for him and Sally and for their family, and just thank God for your support on that. Hallelujah. Amen. So now what? Okay. Oh, yeah. We got to release the children and get them out of here so they can go play and have fun. Hallelujah. And then for me today, I just want to take a few minutes here, and the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go over offering, because I just think it's important that we just remind ourselves of some of the core things that the Lord says. And what I want to remind you of is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Do you know that the Lord has an expectation that you are purposeful in your giving? Do you know that the Lord has an expectation that you would know what the word says and that you would understand tithing and offering, and then that it would be a purposeful, joyful thing for you to do? That when you get an opportunity for us to do an offering, it should not be something where someone's in, oh no, they're going to talk about offering again. This should actually be one of the most highlighted moments in the service for you. It should be a time where you're sitting here saying, I'm excited because not only do I know what the word says, that if I sow, I will reap, and what I release to God, he increases. But this is a time for me to give God an opportunity to be involved with my natural. That God has a chance now to touch my work, to touch my life, to touch my bills, to touch my finances, and to touch every area of my life in a way that he would not otherwise if I didn't partake in this part of the covenant. And most importantly, he says, be cheerful about it. Be excited. Take this opportunity as a joy and as a time for you to get an opportunity to see what the Lord would do. Remember that there's another scripture that the Lord himself says, test me, prove me. Do it my way and see what I will do with your particular situation. I remember that when Regina and I started, we were broke, man, I'm telling you. But we would get to the end of the month and we would have money and didn't even know how. But all we did was follow God's covenant. And even when it seemed like we had little, he made it into enough. Amen? So God's going to continue to do that for us. And I'm just going to pray blessing over the offerings as we bring the offering buckets up and get ready to give our tithe and offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as each person takes this opportunity to be thankful in our heart, to be cheerful, God, to trust you, and to open up our hearts for what you want to do, Father. Lord, I just thank you that you're going to bless their tithes and their offering, Father. Lord, that you're going to give them hundredfold returns, God. You're going to cancel debt. You're going to bring money from places that we don't even know was coming, God. And Lord, you're going to rebuke the devourer on our behalf. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. One question. Is there a person here who either you had a back injury or you've had a long-term one or something just recently happened where you went to the doctor? You might even have to be wearing a brace related to it. Is there anybody in the service today that has a situation like that? Oh, you young lady. What's going on? Really? Okay, very good. I want you to just stand up here for just a minute. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I speak to this pain, God, through this neck, through this shoulder area, God, that also causes pain in her lower back area, trying to accommodate all these things. And God, I just speak to this right now in the name of Jesus. I command pain to come out. I loose the working of miracles and healing in Jesus' name to flow. And God, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm probably going to pray for some more people at the end of the service today. Praise God. But right now we're going to get into the message. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I tell you what, I am super excited to be here with you today. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I tell you what, we're just going to keep just moving forward with what God and what he has for us. And we're just going to see and just continue to see the Lord do great things for us. I do want each and every one of us to know that over the next few weeks, I'll be preaching on your true identity in Christ. But I want you to know that I'm going over this because in this time in which we're living, I want you guys to recognize and you guys to know that it is a time for us to step our game up, so to speak. And what I want you to understand is that even if we have been, and I know we have been, good, solid Christians, there comes a time where we have to take our game to the next level, so to speak. Amen? Because the Bible says this in the book of Acts, that there are things that in the times past the Lord could overlook. Okay? But the same Bible says that there comes a time where there are things that the Lord just won't wink at or the Lord just can't excuse anymore. And I want each of us to know that we're not living in the same day we were even 10, 15, 20 years ago, okay? We're living in a day now that if you have not known it, it should be clear to you by now that we're seeing things that let us know how real our lives are, how real the Bible is, and how quickly things can change and things could be different than what they have been. Amen? And I'm telling you that the Lord is speaking to us to give us signs. You know, the Bible says this, that when you look up, you can tell when a storm is coming. You can tell when the sky gets dark. You can tell when the wind starts blowing. The Bible also says that it should be this way about the Lord's return. Now, we're never going to know the day or the hour, but we should be able to look at the season in which we live and take a good, strong look and say, hey, I seriously need to think about making sure that my life is in order because at any moment, the Lord could come and be right here. Amen? So as we talk about these kinds of things, I want you to know that I'm putting this out there in a very serious way, but I also want you to know that I'm putting this out there because there are much stuff that we are still going to be able to do and much stuff that we must still focus on as Christians and be a part of. So when I talk about your identity, I really want to get in here and I want to be reminded that Pastor Regina did such a beautiful job talking about looking into the mirror, amen? And so I get to reflect a little bit of that today because I'm just going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to read in verse 17, and it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors of Christ. Uh-oh, that means we represent Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I just want to talk to you here for just a couple minutes. Woo! Because I really want us to grab a hold of something. Have we really ever considered ourselves new creatures? I mean, as believers, when we got saved, did we truly grab a hold of the revelation, okay, what I was yesterday doesn't exist. I'm brand new today in Christ. So I don't have to attach the old sins of my past to me. I don't have to attach words that people spoke over me. I got to tell you something. The truth is that most of us as believers, we received the blood. We might even went through a moment of refreshing where we said, oh, I feel different. I really am changed. But we didn't change our identity. We were still plagued by what we were called in high school. We were still plagued by what people spoke over us. We were still plagued by what we've done. Many of us now, we've been in the body of Christ 20 years, and you know what? There may be some things that we haven't done in 15 or 20 years, but we will still blog ourselves down with that, relate that to ourselves, and tie up God's hands and our hands by bringing that into a future that should have never been touched by that. You know, I just want to ask you some questions today. Do we still dislike ourselves? Praise God. I don't know about you, but I like myself pretty well. I'm all that in a bag of chips, whether somebody agrees with it or not. Don't ask her after this. But I'm just asking you some questions. Do we still think we're more sinner than saint? Are we still filled with fears? Do we still dread tomorrow instead of being excited about it and excited about what God will do in our tomorrow? I want to know, do we still feel helpless? Especially, do we still feel helpless in areas where the devil has us defeated or for right now seems to be out in front of us? Do we still feel the devil is stronger than we are? See, I want you to know something, that if we have succumbed to these things, we have allowed ourselves and our relationship with God to be carnal-minded. Because here's why. These are works that he redeemed us from when salvation happened. If we still don't like ourselves, or if we still think we're more sinner than saint, what we're still thinking is the devil has more authority, and what you've done for the devil means more than what you've done for God. Boy, that'll sit on you for a minute. See, here's what we cannot afford to do. We cannot afford to be God's powerful church, but yet dealing with all of these self-image issues to the point where we never get beyond helping ourselves onto being able to help someone else. See, I want you to understand something. Think about this for just a minute, and I'm just asking you this as a question. The Bible says in one point, if we come along and we could help somebody and we don't, then that is sin for us. Well, why would the Lord ever put us in that position unless he expected you to allow him to heal your life so much that when people come along and need help, you're in a position to help them? Don't get me wrong. When we need help, we're going to be there. When we as a church need help, people will reach out and help. But at the same time, there has got to be a point where we are loving ourselves enough that we believe enough about God that we'll allow him to heal us. So I got to ask you a question. When we took on the identity of being a new creature, did we really take on the fullness of it? Because the new creature that Christ created no longer has a sin nature. Don't get mad at me. It's written in 1 Peter. No, it's not written in the first book of Pastor Phil. It's written in 1 Peter that the Lord says you have the right to walk in a divine nature. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. You have a right to walk in love. You have a right to walk in the empowerment of a divine nature just like your Lord and Savior. And you have a right to take on the image of Jesus Christ. Hey, I didn't write it. I did not put in the Bible that Jesus would be the first of zero brothers, the first of one brother. Oh, the first of many brothers. So Jesus had an expectation that not only would he save us and heal us and bless us, but he expected that we would take on his nature. In fact, he trusted us so much with his nature. Do you know what he said about the works we were going to do? He didn't say, hey, the works you do will equal mine. Now, this is scary. He said, the works you will do will be greater than the works I do. Now, I want you to know something, that when we talk about our identity, we're talking about our identity as an individual, but we're also talking about our identity as a corporate church. I'm talking about our identity of what we're going to do individually, but also want to know what we're going to do as a body of Christ. And what are we going to be known for? Because I tell you what I want us to be known for. I want us to be known for, if you need healing, go up there. If you need help, if you need a miracle, if you need love, if you need cared for, if you need anything, if you need food, if you need something, go over there. They know how to touch the Lord. And he is residing with them. Amen? And so the first thing we have to really do is we have to ask ourselves, have I really received being a new creature? Have I really forgiven myself from what the Lord has already forgiven me for? Have I really let go of my yesterday? And am I really accepting my steps into my tomorrow and into my future that God has for me? Now, see, I'm asking you that because I know that when I brought it out, if we were raising hands, probably lots of us in here, me included, had to sit there and say, you know what? I didn't really receive the trueness of what the Lord said when he said I was a new creature. I haven't really considered that I don't have a sin nature now. It's less likely for me to sin than it is for me to do what's right. Isn't it interesting that in the Bible the Lord says this, if thou sin, there's an advocate in Christ Jesus. So even the Bible puts you in a position where it believes that you're more likely, once you get saved, to not be in sin than to be in sin. Amen? So I want us to start really thinking about the fact that if we're going to press into where God wants us to press into, we're going to have to look at these things and we're going to have to grab a hold of ourselves in a new way. And I'm just going to take a look at a story that we've looked at lots of times, but I just want to touch it in a little different way today, and that is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And I know that you've heard that story, and I know that I've preached out of that story, and it's been good, but I want to read it to you today, and I just want to touch up on some things that we usually don't look at. And it says right here in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, meaning Jesus, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied Peter and they that were with him, said, Master, the multitude throng thee, and the press, and sayest thou who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. You notice she didn't run. Back in these days, buddy, you had an issue of blood and you came out in public, it was a crime. But I want you to notice something. She might have been trembling, but she didn't run. And falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now, I just want to talk to you for a few minutes here. I want to ask you a couple of questions. I want you to see something here. We have a woman with an issue of blood. And what was amazing was that this woman first was just a who. Who touched me? But as the time went on, all of a sudden he said, no, somebody touched me. In other words, he was telling his disciples, no, what I need you guys to know is that when I declare someone, I'm not just saying it to who, even though the Bible says whosoever can call upon my name. He says there's times where when I'm declaring to someone, I mean somebody has touched me in a way that nobody else around me at that time has touched me. He said, somebody touched me. And I want you to know something that this is, I'm really wanting you to focus on this woman's, we've talked about her faith before, but what I want to talk to you about is her identity. Because this woman went from just being who to somebody, and then all of a sudden he said, daughter! Now, why did he say that to her? Because she took salvation seriously. Here she was, she had an issue of blood, said she should stay in a, locked away, away from people, don't get around anyone. Certainly didn't give her any confidence to go reach towards Jesus, especially out in the crowd. And this word also was an isolation word for her to stay isolated somewhere by herself. But based upon her revelation of Jesus, even when she spoke to him, she said, Lord, this is what I did. I discovered who you were. I stood on my proclamation of who you were. And by my faith, I came out here believing that I would run into you. And if I just ran into you, you didn't even have to speak. If I could just touch the hem of your garment, because of who you are as the Lord Jesus Christ and because of what you've done for me, I felt like I could be made whole. Amen? Woo! And I want you to know something. All of a sudden, this woman changed the prognosis that every one of us should take. Because every one of us should be like this lady and be bold enough that even if the world says no, even if our circumstances look like they're saying no, we should be bold enough to come to Jesus and say, no, this is what the Bible says concerning my Lord and Savior. Well, what happens if I fail? What happens if it don't work? Get back up. No, you don't understand. It didn't work. No, remember this. The Lord says this, having confidence in this one thing, that he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to finish it. And that means that we should never give up in life. Amen? He says that I'm faithful. I'm faithful to finish it until the late day of Jesus Christ. So what that means for each and every one of you and me is that one thing we're not going to do is give up. One thing we can't. Amen. Go ahead. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. One thing we cannot do is sit there, give up, and throw in the towel and say it's not going to work. Because I'm telling you that the only difference between us and a breakthrough is us not giving up. Because the Lord is going to be faithful. And the Lord will come through on our behalf. Amen? So I want us to really grab a hold of the idea that the Lord is with us and that the Lord will be faithful. And that the Lord is going to help us no matter what we have going on. Amen? Now, I want to take a look at something right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If I tell you that this is about my last scripture, are you going to believe me? Okay, well then I won't tell you that. Hey, but it says that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it was were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. I wanted to read this scripture because this is scripture by Paul the Apostle. And he says, I am what I am in Jesus Christ. Amen. And what this means is that I want to take a look at Paul for just a minute, because how many of you would have ever perceived that Paul could be an apostle? I certainly wouldn't have. If I read his story before I knew who he was, and I read, hey, that there's a man named Saul, and he went about killing Christians, and he did not really do anything to the other thugs and stuff. He actually got a license to go around putting Christians in jail and stoning them, and, you know, and I thought about him writing the Bible. I would have never, you could have never convinced me that that would be true. Amen? But you know what? Paul, when he received his identity of being a new creature, he truly received it. Paul killed Christians, but you know what he said? I have no blood on my hands. Paul killed Christians, but he said, I have no blood on my hands, and I owe no man nothing. Wow. And then Paul the Apostle came right alongside of all the other apostles who had been serving God, and not only did he think he had a right to fast as much as they did, or to pray as much as they did, he also had the audacity to believe he had the right to write as much of the Bible, even more than they did. I mean, that's a man who knows his identity. You know, I wonder if there's anybody in this room that sits there and said, man, if the Lord asked me right now, I would be bold enough to write a book for him. If he said to me right now that he was writing another edition to the Bible, I'm bold enough right now to tell you I'm going to write a book for him. I wonder if we even think our story is strong enough or is too weak. I wonder when we as believers are going to take on the identity that says, yes, if the Lord came to me, I could write a book for him. You wouldn't have to do it on your own. You wouldn't have to do it on your own power. You wouldn't have to do it on your own ability. God himself is going to be there to help you. Amen? And I just want to share this with you. It says in Acts chapter 17, verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, I dare you to say, I'm an offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a time, a day, in thee, which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, I just want to speak on this just for a few minutes, because I want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you ever get up and think and pray, Lord, I thank you that I'm your offspring. I thank you that as much as Jesus is your son, that I'm a child of God. Do we ever sit there and think, Lord, just like you answered the prayers of the apostles and the men and women who are written in this book, God, you will answer my prayers the same way. And Lord, I have some dreams and I have some things that I have laid out that I want to do that I believe you're leading me to do. And God, I believe in Jesus' name, you're going to help me do them. Offspring. That means that right now I'm sitting here looking at sons and daughters of God, just like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm not just looking at people that are, you know, just people or just trying. I'm actually looking at people that have been called and appointed to a time to live on this earth when God would do his work in your heart. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I think you guys will be excited because I didn't go that long, did I? I thought I would give you a light one on my first day back and trick you later on. But right now, I just want to, first of all, I want to ask, let's bow our heads for a minute. Is there anybody in here that today you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I was saved, but now I've been backslidden. I was serving God, but I'm not, or I've never served him, and really, I need to know how to be saved. If that's you, just lift your hand. Anybody here needing to be saved today? I see that hand. Praise God. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. The Lord is with you. You can put those hands down. And everybody in here is going to say this prayer with me. But it's for you three that lifted your hands. We're just going to say it as a family. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I ask him into my heart now. I thank you that now I'm saved and I ask forgiveness. And I thank you that you forgive me for all my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm telling you, if there's anybody in here that is sick or if you've got any hurting going on and you just need prayer today, I want you to come up here and pray. Come up here and I will pray for you. And if any of those ones who put their hands up, if you want to come up and have me pray for you, I'll pray for you. But right now, if you are feeling sick and you've had some stomach issues or if you got pain of any sort or if you have anything whatsoever and you know that you need prayer, I want you to just feel free to come up here right now and I'm going to take a few minutes and pray with each of you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Praise God.
Your name is here.
praise you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I just want to thank you for being here today. I look forward to being here with you on Thursday. And God bless you. You guys have a great finish to this Thanksgiving weekend. Amen. Hope you enjoyed Thanksgiving and ate too much just like I did. Amen. Hey, God bless you.